It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day. I calmed it down. I'm taking it back a little bit. The Brian Belaga Homer Hour. It is Monday. Every time Brian Belaga should come on, and I'll be the Packers, and he can be Elgton Jenkins. As they continue to have this, I said this to Jason Wilde. I'm not doing anything. He's got a contract for the next 2 years. I want him on the team. I want him to play center. I'm paying him at guard price to play center, and I checked, centers make less than guards. I'm doing Elgton Jenkins a favor by not saying, we want you to take less, or it's, I don't know how you do that. I'll defer to Brian Belaga. Brian, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm a little sad for you.
Why?
Well, you picked the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, I did.
And if I were you, I'd feel like I'm just unlucky. And the whole world is unlucky. The world had a chance to see, I believe, one of the great Game 7s ever. There's no way anybody has any idea who was going to win that game, given the way the game had started until he got hurt. And once he got hurt, everybody knew this thing's over. They were surprised it stayed as close for a half, but Indiana just couldn't score enough. And so you lose the bet. Sometimes I would say you lose the bet, even though you had the right side. And I was amazed after the game, they just didn't discuss it enough.
I agree. Yeah.
Who here says that Indiana, and it's like they didn't want to take away from Oklahoma City. Sorry, that's what everybody is thinking. Aren't you thinking, damn. Who would have won this game if he hadn't gotten hurt?
That was exactly what I thought. When you saw the first half, right? I mean, you said it. When you saw the way that the game went the first half and how close they kept it, you're just thinking of Halliburton. If he would have stayed healthy and played the entire game, how does that look, right? I think Indiana potentially wins that game, right? Like they most likely win that game, or at least they have a chance to win that game. And that's it's a shame. Right, and now let's look at it exactly the way all NBA fans. Like, I'm not a diehard NBA fan, but listen, I'm a sports fan and I'm a former athlete. You're not going to see that kid again till maybe this time next year, or maybe a little bit earlier with that Achilles injury, because he's got to rehab that thing. So he's out pretty much all next year. He's got to rehab it just like Dame and a lot of these other guys that are blowing these Achilles out late in the season. It's a shame. It really is, because as good as Indiana was and how much momentum they had going, how they could carry that into next season, maybe add a piece and be really good. Now they lose their star and he's not coming back for a while. It's a bummer for them. It really is. And not only do they lose the finals, but now they lose their star and who knows when he's going to be back. It was a double loss for the Pacers last night. I was still happy the way they kept it. They didn't get run out of the building last night. It wasn't like a 30-point loss or something like that. They kept it, respectable. But
they made a run when they were down 22 and you thought it was over. And you're thinking, is Oklahoma City just half asleep? I mean, their play for about 7 minutes in there was horrific. It's like they weren't even running an offense. They just dribbled the ball and they couldn't seem to even pass the ball. It doesn't mean anything because maybe they played it wisely in terms of just using the clock and having the possession, scoring or not, didn't matter. It was using the full amount of time.
Yeah, that would be my guess, was what they were doing, just killing clock at that point. But I still think if he's in there, it's probably a different game in those last few minutes, and we see something different potentially. But obviously, congrats to OKC, right? I mean, I think everyone thought they were the best team in this thing to start. So congrats to them, you know, their first title, and, you know, hats off to them. But what could have been? What could have been? And
no,
isn't it
well,
crazy?
I'd say congrats, but I went on the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Homer says Oklahoma City was lucky.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think they're lucky. Because of the injury, though, that leads to my next question that I want to talk to you about, and everybody should be talking about this. The number one issue is, what's the deal with a calf injury? For example, the people who said when he was hurt in Game 5 that he should not play again, they were right. There's no way you can justify him playing and being out for the year. So should he have played? But I would have the reservation that I'll defer to you. I don't know if there's that big a connection to a calf injury to an Achilles, but it sure seems like it. That was Aaron Rodgers, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a big correlation to the calf and Achilles. I mean, those things are intertwined. You know, normally when there's a bad calf strain, things can happen in that region, right? I mean, things can go wrong.
I'm asking you, because right now I'm saying, unless some doctor says otherwise, you have a calf injury to a certain level, you're not playing. You might not play for, I don't know, half a year or 3 months, because the risk is you're going to be out for a year, and it appears it's happening so often that the risk, as I said, I'll defer to a doctor on this, but Tony Smith told me about it in the middle of last year when I laughed about a calf injury, and I said, well, they'll be back soon. He goes, you don't know anything about calf injuries. It's a little calf, he says. Worst thing you can get? Worse. Because you can't jump or anything. Maybe it's worse than basketball. And now, there has to be a story about what's going on, and were the Pacers not just wrong, but reckless in letting him play? I don't care what he says. Whatever the percentage is of him blowing out his Achilles in whatever amount of time, you ain't playing. But that may be excessive. I'll defer to you. Do you remember Achilles blowing out of all the players you played with, or just in the NFL? Take it away.
No. Like what we're seeing right now with the athletes, guys, you know, popping Achilles is it's crazy. Like the amount and maybe it's jumping out at us more because it's all the huge names that it's happening to, and it's happening on the biggest stages, right? We're seeing it in the finals and the playoffs, and Aaron Rodgers on the first game of the season. You know, we're seeing it in such prime time games. I mean, it happens all the time, but it seems like it's happening in such a, you know, frequent matter now, and there needs to be, I don't know what it is, but something needs to be looked upon of what's going on. Is it strength training, or are we so focused on, you know, core strength and you know quad and hamstring, and we're completely losing track of calf and that the lower extremity part of the leg, that we're just completely losing focus on strengthening those things? I mean, there's got to be something going on you know, what we're looking at in the strength and conditioning standpoint of why this is happening, because there's always a correction to it, right? Like whenever you would see guys, you know, tear ACLs or do something like that, like the training staff and the, you know, strength and conditioning staff, they would go all in on, like, okay, why are guys tearing ACLs? How can we correct that? What's the strength and conditioning aspect? What's the training aspect? Like, they would go all in on trying to figure out what's happening, and they would make plans of how we can correct it. So that's something that there's got to be a study into it, and I'm sure trainers across the league, not just the NBA, but probably the NFL and all the major leagues, are looking into it. Another one that gets brought up too, I mean, a huge one is Greenlaw when he popped his trying to go back in the Super Bowl. If you remember that. You know, Dre Greenlaw, the linebacker from the 49ers.
Yeah, for the 49ers.
Trying to go back in the game, blew his Achilles out just trying to run back on the field. Like, just crazy stuff, you know what I mean? Like, just weird stuff. So,
and this, I want to emphasize and ask you, this never happened when you were playing.
No. Like, it just, I don't remember it being, if a guy tore his Achilles, it would be, like, so rare. Like, it just wasn't a thing. Like, ACLs, yes, right? Like, ACLs, right. Sure. But the Achilles just wasn't a thing that was being torn. Like, it just wasn't something that was as common. Now, is it because these guys are becoming so explosive and, you know, bigger and they're putting so much torque on their calves and their leg? Like, that could be it. But I mean, the rate at which it's happening is wild, man. Like, it's wild and it doesn't make much sense to me. But to the point is, was Indiana wrong? I don't know how you tell a player, and this is where it comes down to that player doctor trainer relationship, that you're sitting out of the finals, right? Like, you're not playing the finals, you're done. Like, and that's where that relationship comes down to. Is there the trust factor between the three of how he's feeling? What does the scan show? Because, you know, we got all the
MRIs. I don't care
MRIs
what he's feeling. The risk is too great. Again, this is the other emphasize. I would emphasize, and I'm not in the interest of blaming them, because to me, it's just what you said. No one knows, but somebody knows a little bit more. I would say you're not playing in game six. Now, I don't know that the rest helps. Tony said it doesn't matter. Just, you can't do anything for a certain period of time, and I don't know how one day or 2 days would make a difference, but I think they easily could have said that. But
yeah, I mean,
it's all about the percentages of things that you would deal with, and what's the chance of blowing out your Achilles, and what does it have to be for you not to play someone because of the risk of him missing a year? And I would say this until proven otherwise: they're not taking enough time off. Now, maybe that's a keen observer of the obvious, but you played in a sport that's incredibly dangerous. You deal with people that are hurt all the time. Is it unfair to say they clearly aren't giving players enough time of rest with a calf injury? Though I can't say I know that how much you have to give them to limit that Achilles injury. You can't have players... just, they're not, it's not even contact, right?
No, it's non-contact.
All right, Dr. Bulaga, like, now not the doctor of football, the doctor of football injuries. Take it away. I want to know you're hearing me say that and what crosses your mind.
Well, I mean, I the first thing I hear you say is, you know, like, do the guys, I think in general, do they have enough time off in general, you know, from the time the season ends to when they start up again, when they have to report for camps?
No, just when they have a calf injury.
Oh, when they have enough time to heal?
Yeah, they're not taking enough time off, is my answer. There's no, I don't know how anybody could argue that.
No, there's no way. There's no way they have enough true time off, because there's just the pressure of getting back on the court or the field or whatever it may be, and the competitive edge in guys to get back going and play again. So there's just no way they're properly taking the time off to heal the way they should, right? And that's a problem. Obviously, that's
all right.
A
so what if you haven't? I'm going to ask Brian Bulaga. What if now you were playing and you get a calf injury? Did you ever have a calf injury?
No, not that I remember.
All right. Given what you have observed, all right, you get a calf injury. What are you doing?
Like a bad calf injury? Like one that I can barely
whatever, when
on?
You have to decide how soon you want to come back, knowing the risk of an Achilles, which would take you out for an entire year.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a minimum a couple weeks. I mean, that's bottom line. I mean, like, it's the way things are going, and especially for offensive linemen, how much we have to brace and push back on, like, our feet, our heels are hitting the ground, and we have to push back and pass pro. I mean, you're just asking for that. If you have a bad calf and you're having to strain and like, you know, lock your feet into the ground as you're getting pressed on, like, you're just asking for that whole thing, your calf and Achilles, to potentially just go. Like, you're just asking for it to go. So it'd have to be a minimum couple weeks to let that settle down and try to heal as best it could. And it all depends on what the MRI shows, right? Like, how bad of a calf tear is this? Like, is this a major calf tear? Like, is
right.
this
you
thing,
want
like,
that information about these players that we're talking about?
Oh yeah,
you
like that's
really
a big deal.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. Like, because it seemed as if, like, you know, the kid from Indiana, his was bad. Like, right, like the way he went down and for the original injury. His was bad. Like, it seemed like it was extremely painful. He looked the way he got carried off. Like, it was in a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort. And then, obviously, the way, you know, it tore in Game 7, like, there was an issue there. There was a big issue there.
But wait. Okay, let me add in to get your comment, and we'll take a break and then get to it. But he played in Game 6, and everybody watching was thinking, wow, he looks pretty good. The response from not only the doctor of football, but now the doctor of football injuries, Brian Bulaga, next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, which now includes Brian Bulaga, the football player, and Brian Bulaga, the partner expert. What do you got?
That's right. I am here for my friends at Surfside, and summer's heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or a Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Surfside is better than all those other drinks you see on the shelf. Why? Because it tastes cleaner than all the other ones. It doesn't leave your mouth feeling like it's full of sugar and nasty and all those other things. Believe me. They got so many great flavors, like my favorite, the half tea, half lemonade, peach tea, raspberry lemonade, and so many more. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside's only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right. No carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Kind of like at my son's friend's birthday party. The Surfsides were there. They were gone in no time. Let me tell you this much. They were gone in like an hour. The adults loved them. Look for the can with the sunset stripes, sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
And American Place Casino, I tell you, a half hour south of Franklin, or 38 minutes from maybe one spot in Franklin. American Place Casino, half hour south of Franklin. American Place Casino, half hour south of Franklin. Now they have so many promotions, I can't just say that. AmericanPlace.com. They have 2025 Ford Mustang Dark Horse Premium, and they got the way you can find out about that. Play 500 on Us promotion. Need more than that? North Shore Steaks and Seafoods wind down Wednesdays, and they also are looking to hire table games dealers. So many promotions. If you're not taking advantage of more than one every time you go to American Place Casino, it's a huge mistake. AmericanPlace.com and American Place Casino, half hour south of Franklin in Gurnee, Illinois. 38 minutes if you want to be particular. American Place Casino. All right, we're discussing what I think is a huge story in not just sports in terms of the NBA, but all sports, and that is with a calf injury turning into an Achilles injury and players being out for a year. And now I'm wondering the next step, and I don't know how many people get calf injuries. Like, I get a calf injury, I'm not listening to what the team says. I mean, I will, but I'm apt to, I don't care when they say I should come back. I want to know, what's my risk of tearing out my Achilles and missing a year, changing my career? And now I go to the doctor of football injuries, Brian Bulaga, who's going to help me out.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it kind of reminds me of back, and you know, people don't think about it much, but Aaron, back in 2014, had that really bad calf strain in 2014, and people don't really think about it that much, and what he gutted through when he popped it in Tampa, and he played all those games through through the playoffs, and we obviously lost in Seattle in the NFC Championship. But he gutted through that, right? The bad calf strain. And let me tell you, it was legitimate. That guy's calf was killing him. And, like, that's
always a risk.
Well,
then right now I would say he was stupid to play. Now, he survived, and I guess I would listen. I'd be curious what Aaron Rodgers would say, how to deal with calf injuries properly. I know people are going to think he's goofy and whatever, but I don't – he kept playing and didn't have an issue for a number of years, and – again, it speaks to how tough it is and how hard the injury is. But this isn't about how bad the injury. This is about preventing the loss of a season because of an Achilles tear.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, I think now as players, I think you're going to see a different kind of mentality when guys get calf strains. I mean, and it's going to be way more relevant, I think, in the NBA, right? Because I think the NBA, their trends are different than you see in the NFL and that you see in other sports. Because I think the NBA, like, it's been such in our face in the playoffs, right? With Dame and now, like, it's been in our face, right? Like, so you're going to see.
And I don't know, someone will come up. I don't know how many people are having calf injuries that aren't getting and having an Achilles tear. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and like, that's the thing. Like, well, here's the thing. Like, when you're watching your favorite NBA team, right, and a guy goes on and isn't playing, and you just, and it's a captain, like, you just ignore it, right? Like, oh, you got a cat. He'll be back in a couple weeks. You ignore
not
it.
Not anymore.
About it, right? Exactly. Not anymore. Now you're paying attention.
Like, no, I'm going to be of the opinion, of course, known to go too far, but I agree. I'm going to be more concerned with that than a knee injury. Like,
yeah,
the injury recovery time is worse for an Achilles than anything else, right? And then I wonder how much does it change and prevent you from ever being the same again versus the knee injury. Doc?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I can't – I've never had the Achilles, but I think that the doctors and the surgeons and the rehab for the ACLs – they have it down pat, and they're so good with it now that, like, the ACL surgeries, they're like clockwork now, and guys bounce back from them if they actually do their rehab correctly, and guys are the same probably after, you know, that year and probably, you know, 3 or 4 months after it, right? They feel good, and they trust it again. They're back out. They could be the exact same player, maybe even better, because their knees, they trust their knee, and they're good to go. The Achilles is a different beast, right? Like, it's a different thing because this is, I mean, you think of the Achilles and what it is. It is such a thick band that snaps. Like, it is the weirdest thing if you snap your Achilles and how they have to reattach it and the rehab to it and how you have to get it, you know, pliable again. It is a very difficult rehab and painful one, too. I mean, all rehabs are painful. But it's a tough one to go through, and how you're able to bounce back from it, each guy's different. Like, obviously, Kobe was able to do it in record time, and what he had to do it obviously is, you know, crazy, and how, you know, what he, where he went to do, he went to Germany and all over the place to do his rehab and, you know, everything. But that's not everybody, right? Like, that's not, he's not the norm. You know, the thing you could say Aaron did every single thing probably humanly possible, right? You saw his journey on Netflix and what he was doing. He did every single thing possible. And look, when you finally saw him probably being normal was towards the back half of last season, right? So it takes a while for those guys with the Achilles to feel normal. And Aaron was playing quarterback. It wasn't like he was playing receiver or linebacker or D end or something. Aaron's playing quarterback. So it's a very, you know, I would still say the doctors and surgeons and PTs that are doing these things, because it's becoming more common, obviously, of an injury, they're having to, like, dial in the way they're repairing these things and the rehabbing it and how they're treating people, because the ACLs, obviously, they that was a big thing, you know, a while ago, how they were going to do it. Achilles is becoming the thing now, and how they can, you know, fix these things and get guys to come back faster and be themselves again, and that's the tough part about it.
And suffer the Achilles injury with no contact, just doing nothing.
That's the worst one. That's the worst.
So I've told people I don't care to follow Aaron Rodgers as a football player. I still am curious about who his wife is. Do you know who his wife is yet? Is it still? Give the number of days. I mean, I know you don't care, but you haven't had the information just cross your path.
I have not. I don't.
She could be living in Iowa. Yeah,
but
this,
all I know. Yeah.
I think until further notice, I'm willing. And maybe you could ask Rodgers. You can tell him that I will not be on the show. The two of you can talk, because until further notice, I'm viewing him as my expert on calf injuries and Achilles.
I mean, he would be the expert on it. Like he would be the expert on calf and Achilles, because like he's had them all, right? He's had the calf injury. And obviously the Achilles just recently, but he was a guy that would, you know, the calf strain would pop up every now and again, and he would have that issue. And obviously the Achilles one just happened, but how he dealt with that calf strain in 2014, I have no idea. I really don't, because all we were told as an offensive line is he can't move. Make sure he doesn't get touched in the pocket because he's not moving. And like it was like, okay. Like, that's the way this playoffs is going to be, and that's the way we approached it, right? Like, because we knew he couldn't
move. Was there any discussion by anyone at any time to the degree of, this guy can blow out his Achilles? This, or was that not ever even brought up?
It wasn't even brought up. If that was brought up, that would have been something. That would have been something that was with the docs, and that was not something that was, because like you look at it from our standpoint, like that wasn't something that was even like thought of in 2014. Like Achilles weren't like a, like that was a rare injury. Like it was a really rare injury in 2014. Like it wasn't something that was a very common thing. So like, you know, you would just think a bad calf strain is a bad calf strain, right? Like,
and knowing Aaron Rodgers, I guess I would have thought, I have to ask Jason, that he might have brought it up.
He would never have brought it up to us. If anything, he would have told us, right. It's okay. Like, it's just a strain. Where I'm all right. That's like the way he would play it off, right? And
right, but if he tried that now, you'd laugh.
Oh, yeah. Hey. I'd be like, dude. Like, dude, okay, just a calf strain, got it. Yeah, all right, sure. Like, knowing that this is the way, like, people, like, that's the way that calf strains are going to be looked at now, unfortunately. Like, that's the way this goes. And fortunately for the athlete, they're going to be looked at differently because of what's been going on.
I mean, they could say it's just a fluke. That's fine, but I don't, that's why I wanted to spend this amount of time on it, because it's just huge. I mean, it's like when I remember people started getting knee injuries and nobody hit them. Like, I grew up watching sports, living sports. No one ever blew out their knee unless somebody hit them. Then you have these knee injuries, like nobody touched them. So that's not possible. Then it became possible. I don't remember if all the people they have in training and stuff said, well, this is the result and we need to do this. I mean, they put the braces on the offensive lineman, but that's existed for years. But that, I remember that, and I don't know ever an answer, but like, how do you blow out your knee and you're not, it's not created by some sort of, somebody hitting it or, you know, catching it. It's just like, they just, well, it's Jordy Nelson, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, that's how Jordy tore his. Yep.
Doing nothing.
You're just cutting in his body. His foot got caught one direction. He was moving another direction, and it just went. And like those are the bad ones, man. Like, well, they're all bad, right? Like, I hate, like, they're all bad. Every big ligament tear is bad, right? Like, I'll say that.
Yes, and something can happen on the field in which you say it doesn't look like he's hurt that bad. And now you say, well, sometimes that's even worse with a knee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
You look and go, 100%. Nothing happened. Oh, man. I don't know how accurate that is really.
Yeah, I mean, you know when a guy goes down when he wasn't touched, it's going to be an ACL or like you saw last night, an Achilles. Like a guy doesn't just go down like that and it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Like it just doesn't happen that way. Right. Normally when guys fall to the ground and they're not touched like that, it's most likely the worst case scenario. And that's just the way it goes. And it's unfortunate because, and you look at it like last night, and I brought this up earlier, the amount of force and torque guys are now putting into the ground, and if they have a pre-existing injury and they're pressing that again and again and again with the way basketball players are doing it, with the way they jump and move and cut constantly, you're just like gambling every time you do that with a strain already. So like you just continue to gamble and gamble and gamble, and eventually something's going to catch up, and it did. Like, again, unfortunately for him, because he's an exciting player, and the team was exciting and all that. So,
and I would add, clearly, it's not at the level of they were stupid, because I don't remember hearing anybody say, after he came back and played, oh, this, I don't care that he played. This is wrong. This is scary. This is too much risk. I don't remember hearing anybody say that.
No.
Which means I have no idea where we are, because in the world of social media, people will say it, and those who said before he came back, shut him down for the year. After he played in Game 6, they all backed off. Well, guess I was wrong. Instead... Yeah. They were right, but not confident enough to say they expected it, even after he played in Game 6. So,
yep.
More of the Brian Bulaga, now the doctor of football and doctor of football injuries. I mean, you don't, well, Homer, it's not that big a deal. No, I don't care who your favorite player is. In any sport, they get a calf injury, I'm worried. That simple. Calf injury, I'm worried. And I don't think that's going too far. Brian Bulaga, doctor of football and football injuries. Somebody I follow gets a calf injury, I'm worried. Is that appropriate, or is there enough of a range of the injury?
I mean, listen, I think there's a reason to be nervous about it, and especially, I mean, there is a range of strains, but like, I just feel like if you continue to put a guy out there with a calf strain and he continues to play and say, you know, he continues to wear and tear on that thing, eventually something like this can happen, right? Like, and that's what we saw, you know, the other night. Like, that's what we saw. So that's the scary part about it. I mean, that was the same thing we saw with Dame. The same course of events happened with Dame as well. Like, it was kind of the same... How it played out with him. So, like, it's just, it's showing itself to work out the same way, or, like, prove itself to be the same way of how these guys are kind of, like, showing, all right, do something to the calf, continue to go on it, bang, it goes. Like, it's the same thing.
Maybe, and maybe it's basketball, but I believe there'll be nothing as close to as serious and talked about medical study as what the hell is going on? Calf injuries to an Achilles tear. Third quarter with Brian Bulaga next. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. I want to be the national expert on calf injury and turning to Achilles. I probably should bring on Tony Smith. We follow Marquette. We had the debate earlier in the year when somebody had a calf injury, and I said, yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. It's like, no one has ever shown less knowledge of calf injuries. And he talked about how bad they were, even aside from the possibility of the Achilles, but brought it up, and now it's occurring. And I can't think of any injury for a player, maybe it's basketball, that scares me more than hearing they have a calf injury. Out for a month! We'll see. You remember the moments from the magical march in 2015, Frank Kaminsky leading the charge, Bo Ryan in Wisconsin. Look, they almost won a national championship. Almost won. Up 9 with 13 minutes to go. Coach Bo Ryan, they'll all be there at the Orpheum Theater in Madison to celebrate the 10-year anniversary. Tickets are on sale now at UWHoops2015.com. UWHoops2015.com. Made them believe. No, my title. So close, I can remember. There was a time when I thought they're going to win the national championship. Nope. Thursday at the Orpheum Theater in Madison, presented by Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Potosi Varsity Ale, Potosi Hard Seltzer, and M3 Insurance. Did I do Potosi? Potosi?
It is Potosi.
I think I did.
Potosi.
Potosi. All right. I should know that better. All right. We'll get to Brian Bulaga. But first, the discount liquor Twitter poll question, as I presented, and Pebble. Take it away.
Yeah, today's question, Homer, you put up at the Homer Hour on Twitter, at ESPN Milwaukee on Twitter, off Game 7 last night of the NBA Finals. Homer says the Oklahoma City Thunder were lucky to win Game 7 of the NBA Finals last night because of the Tyrese Halliburton Achilles injury. Agree or disagree? It was 50-50 for a while, but now 56% of the vote disagree with Homer, while 44% agree.
Oh. I didn't ask you. Brian Bulaga, how are you? I think you said you thought they were lucky. I didn't remember your vote.
Yeah, I agree. I think they were lucky. I mean, I don't know how you say they weren't lucky that he got hurt. I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, he's their best player and he goes down that early. Like, right. I don't know how you say they weren't lucky.
Yeah, by the way, for those of you watching on video, what is it, YouTube, Pebble?
ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. You can check out the show every day.
Yeah, not today, because mine just went bad. I am on remote, and my phone just went dead. So you don't have me anymore, do you?
You're frozen right now, yes.
Yeah, so if you want to see me frozen, you can do that, and that's fine. So we will be the international national headquarters for calf injury versus Achilles, and the hope is that our expert, Aaron Rodgers, will come on to talk to Brian Bulaga at some point in the future. What do you think, Dr. Football, the chances are of the two of you talking about this on the show, in which I promise I will not be on the show? Think that gives you a better chance?
You know, I would love to. I mean, I would just love to hear his opinion on it. Like, just and that would be the only thing I'd like to talk to him about, is that, because, like, now that I know, you know, these correlations, I would have loved to say, like, is that something you were even worried about in 2014? Like, was that something that was a concern of yours, right? Like, did you guys bring that up in the medical talks? Like, and because I have no idea, you know, I mean, I was in my fifth year. I was still a young pup at that point in time. Like, it wasn't even something I was, you know, I was still technically bouncing back from my ACL tear, right? Like, I was still going through that process of kind of getting through that and working my way through that, because I tore my ACL the season before. So, it wasn't even something that was to my attention, but, like, that would just be, say, it would be interesting to see. And then the process of rehabbing, I mean, we saw it on Netflix, but there's so much more than what we saw, what he went through on Netflix, and the process of it and the pain of it. And, like, there's a lot more than just that. So it would be great to have just a conversation on that and his insight on it, because he's been through it all. He's dealt with all that. So, I mean, the chances of it, probably slim, but I would love to do it. It'd be great.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to my peep, but the problem is I don't have any peep. But now the question, would you rather have an ACL injury or an Achilles tear if you were playing today?
Oof. Knowing what I know right now, I would probably say ACL. Knowing what I know right now, and because I've been through the ACLs, and I've seen guys go through the Achilles, and I know people that have gone through Achilles, and I, you know, just not athletes, but normal, you know, professional athletes, and the struggles they go through, even now, this years after the surgery, and guys that have played, and the issues they go through, and it's tougher than guys that have had the ACL. And, like, how I feel right now after two ACLs on each knee, like, yeah, I have pain in the knees, you know, occasionally, and, like, things hurt, and I get that. But, like, it's not like, you know, what it sounds like, you know, some of these people are going through, like, and obviously to get back and play, like, I felt like I got back to my normal self. Like, sometimes it didn't feel like people get back to their normal self.
Another great question for number 12. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a scary thing, right? Like, as an athlete, that's the scariest thing when you get hurt, is am I going to return to normal? And that's the scariest part. Like, I guess it'd be a good question to ask Tatum, right? Tatum blew out his Achilles. How does he feel? Like, right from the Celtics?
Would you feel even, I mean, everybody to me would have to feel more conservative about the risk of an injury. The degree to that is, I don't know. It's, I wait for Aaron Rodgers, who has controversial opinions on a number of things, but maybe he'll do it. Is he back? I don't even know if he's back talking to the punter. Pebble, is Aaron Rodgers back talking to the punter?
I haven't seen him on there recently.
Oh, okay. So we'll take that as a,
that's interesting. Maybe he just takes the summer off and he gets back on once the season gets going. Who knows?
We don't also know the Pittsburgh setup. All right, I want to get to the Packers, and I don't know if it's how much we discussed this in the past. If I was as strong about, I mean, I believe that. I don't believe the Packers ever offered Jair Alexander what he got from Baltimore, but I would have given him what Baltimore gave him in a heartbeat, in a second. Mm-hmm. But actions tell me they very strongly didn't want him around. I don't know if you've observed a similar situation with other Packer players when you were on the team, but that will be the fourth quarter question for Brian Bulaga next. The fourth quarter, it's always a short quarter, the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. I would have paid Jair Alexander what Baltimore paid him in a heartbeat, but clearly, by their actions, tells me the Green Bay Packers didn't want to give him a penny because they didn't want Jair Alexander around. But I don't have knowledge of enough situations like that to say it for sure, but that's just nothing. That's punter money. Maybe it's a little more than that. Brian Bulaga, as you observed tell you, and how many times do you remember in your career, you don't have to mention any names, where certain players said, they don't want me around here anymore?
There was a couple of times that happened, and it kind of played out. I wouldn't say exactly like this, where they had guys stay away from the Bills. Like, it didn't happen like this. We'll just put it this way, right? Like, this was a unique, that's why I kept saying this is a unique situation, because it never happens like this. It would be from negotiations that would be going on, whether it be going into their last year, their contract, or whatever it may be, never like this. But based on that offer that he got, that we heard that he got, that he didn't get and that he got from Baltimore, that his dad said that he would have taken if Green Bay offered it. Yeah, I mean, I would have given him that contract right away in Green Bay. No questions asked, right? And I think the one that comes to mind right off the get, right, is Aaron Jones, right? Like, that's the one that comes right off the mind, right. Is him. And to me, like, the only answer would be that, they just didn't see a spot for Jair on the team with the offer that they gave, right? And I don't blame Jair one bit for turning down an offer where essentially they were saying, you're going to take league minimum as your guaranteed money, and everything else is roster bonus and everything like that. Like, I don't blame him one bit. And I would have done the same thing as him. So, like, I don't blame him.
I also want, we have a few seconds left, what he got tells me that nobody in the league believes he's got much left. Correct?
Well, this is just that time of the year where you're not going to get that huge deal.
All
right? And this is this, like,
I mean,
was
but there's
I
somewhere say. Between a huge deal and peanuts. Isn't that what he got?
I mean, what, a potential for $6 or $7 million, whatever it may be. He's going to have to, well, and the thing is, the health issue, you know, the health over the last few years makes teams a little weary. If he plays well this year and plays majority of the season,
yeah,
that number is going to skyrocket next year.
Right. That's why he wanted a one-year deal. We all know that. He didn't want a one-year deal because I want to prove to everybody they're wrong, and then next year I can get the big money. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, and coming up next, the magical march in 2015. Or as I say, they were so close. How many times in your life have you watched a game going, they could win the national championship? Yeah, it was in the second half. You don't ever forget that. Never happened before. Hasn't happened since. And there's no guarantee you get that feeling even if your team gets in the Final Four. That is next.